Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Susan Edelman, and we're going to be talking about her new book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women. Board-certified psychiatrist Dr. Susan Edelman has spent 30 years as a practicing therapist in Palo Alto, California, specializing in women's issues. She is author of the multi-award-winning book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women, and the e-book, What to Say to Men on a Date. She helps single women reclaim their power by learning what works best for them instead of what they're programmed to believe is, quote, normal in today's culture. In addition to her private practice, Dr. Edelman is an adjunct clinical associate professor at Stanford University in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences. She's a guest on dozens of radio shows, including Jenny McCarthy's Dirty, Sexy, Funny. And you can learn more by visiting her website, which is www.drsusanedelman.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Susan to the show. Good day.
Hi. It's great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to our chat today. It's not very often I talk about sexual revolution on my show, so it's going to be a new one for me. But, hey, I'll go there. So, well, let's start with, when I got your book, the first thing that just really struck me was the idea of, one having their own brand of sexy. And now I know the whole book is about that, but if you wouldn't mind, can you share with the listeners just an overview of what you mean by brand of sexy?
Of course. So basically, it's about doing what's right for you as a person, knowing kind of who you are and what you want and what works for you as an individual, as opposed to our culture saying, hey, you should look this way or you should act this way, because there's so much pressure on women to be sexy and sexual today that it's hard to figure out what's right for you as a person, because a lot of us are kind of driven by, what the culture says we should be doing or how we should look.
Yeah. Well, this is also works for men too, right? I just ended up watching that Magic Mike, and I thought, boy, there's a brand of sexy that men are supposed to look like.
Definitely. It is true for men as well. I think it's starting now more with men, but I think we're a little ahead of you. The women, apparently, like the New York Times reported, that 56% of women are unhappy with their appearance. I don't think men have reached that yet.
No, that's true. And it seems that the media really contributes a lot to that hyper-vigilance or hyper-awareness or attention toward a female's physical body.
It's partly the media, and women are driving it as well. I don't know if you're familiar with all this fat shaming that's going on the Internet, but it's very disturbing, because some of these women are celebrities who are like a size 0 or 2, and maybe they, ate a big meal or something, and people are saying, are they pregnant, and calling them fat, and it's not very helpful. These are tiny women that they're trying to make them feel bad about how they look.
Yeah, I know, and that, to me, that drives me crazy, because, it's, first of all, the cyber aspect and the fact that, we put ourselves out there constantly, you know, that it really kind of opens ourselves up to, you know, positives, but also that criticism, and especially for people we don't know. And it's like, you know, like, who are you to, you know, be fat shaming me, you know, that kind of thing. And it just seems that, you know, with that kind of, I mean, it's kind of like peer pressure multiplied to the nth degree.
That's a good way of putting it. And people are really emboldened if they're anonymous to say things they might not really otherwise say to your face.
Yeah, it's something that we, you know, and unfortunately I think we, I mean, there are some women out there who are stepping up to the plate and calling it out, and I think that's it's a great thing. And I think everyone needs to do that, you know, to be able to, you know, to confront the bully. I mean, because that's exactly what it is bullying.
You're right. That is bullying.
Yeah.
And it's a big problem. And I think there are many women who are afraid to stand up to people. Assertiveness is a big problem for a lot of women because a lot of us are really raised to be people pleasers. So we're afraid people won't like us, and we don't necessarily get into this habit of saying, hey, that's not okay. And it's true for fat shaming. It's also true for the pressure on women to be sexual, because if a woman now says, well, you know, that joke makes me uncomfortable because it's too sexual, or I don't want to decide to have sex right now, men might say, or even a woman might say, she's a prude or she's a tease, and then that's another way of bullying people and shaming people into conforming to some external pressure that isn't good for women.
Yeah,
or men, maybe
not.
Either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just all around just not healthy. Now, speaking of, you know, it seems like a constant focus on, you know, being sexual and, you know, what is sexy. And, you know, there with women who, you know, have the desire to be sexy, but also recognize that sometimes that objectifies them in a way. So how does one have a brand of sexy that is not only sexy but self-confident and strong and doesn't come across as being it seems like there's sometimes this dichotomy, you know, of being helpless and passive and then being strong and feminine and then being throwing sexy in there as well.
Well, I think you've really put it well, is that we're confused about what being strong is, because it all got mixed up with the women's movement and the sexual revolution at the same time. So the message was, women need more power. And a lot of women translated that into, well, we don't have to follow these dumb rules anymore. We don't have to wait for men to call us or ask us out. And we can have casual sex if we want to. We don't have to follow those rules. So a lot of women ended up thinking that, you know, we have more power because of all those things. And some women even think the more sex that they have, the more empowered they are, even if they're not completely comfortable with it. But that's not true. I mean, having casual sex doesn't necessarily give you power. If it makes you sad or disappointed, or if the guy never calls again and you wanted a relationship. So real power is knowing what works for you and having the courage to stand up for what you want. And that is what being your own brand of sexy is. It's figuring out what you want, what works for you as an individual, and what strategies will help you get there.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of that sexual revolution that occurred, I guess, in the 60s, in your book you basically indicate that there's a need for a new sexual revolution. So can you kind of, you kind of touched on it, but what were the things that went wrong with that one, and what would this new sexual revolution look like? What would be a successful revolution?
Well, the way I envision it, you know, I think what happened before was the rule was, gee, you can't have sex before marriage, or you're a tramp. Now our new rule is, if you're a virgin, you're a prude. So we've lost the liberation angle, which I think is what we need to bring back, because it should be every woman's choice. This shouldn't be a societal message about how we should act in the bedroom or how we should look either. So the idea of a new revolution is each woman figuring out for herself what her own brand of sexy is and having sisterhood where women support each other in that instead of pressuring each other to conform, whether it's fat shaming or calling people a prude or whatever it is. It's trying to honor the struggle that other people have with this, their decisions about this, and letting them have that struggle and supporting them in it, because I think a lot of women were mean to each other, and I don't think that we realize how much we're undermining our own confidence and our own ability to do what's right for us as individuals by being mean to other women.
Yeah, that mean girl syndrome. You know, you just mentioned sisterhood. Now, you know, the ability to have your women within your circle support you with whatever your choice is, you know. So now, for women out there who are, you know, kind of looking for, you know, that who maybe don't have their little, don't have a tribe, you know, their tribe of girlfriends with whom they can, you know, talk with and converse and get that support, how would someone listening, a woman out there, go about creating or building her group, her sisterhood group?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's really important for women to be able to figure out who their friends are and who their people are. And you know, when I'm talking about women supporting each other, I'm not necessarily saying, well, do whatever you want. I'm saying women who say to you, hey, you're doing this, maybe that's not working out, what about this, right? People who are truly your friends and want what's in your best interest. So I think a lot of people, they may have single girlfriends who they go hang out with, who they're having a good time with, and they may be, you know, doing some men bashing if things aren't working out for them, but they don't necessarily have a mentor helping guide them in this kind of thing. So I think part of having sisterhood is having mentors, having people who can help you and help you figure out what's right for you as a person. So I think that's more what you're going for with sisterhood, because you can have a lot of women in your life and they may not necessarily be supporting you and figuring out your best path to get what you want.
Yeah, so it's not really just having a yes person around. I mean, it's someone who knows you, who really has your best interest at heart, and will tell you, you know, when they think that there is something that is maybe not working for them, for you.
Yeah, to help guide you a little bit more. Because I think, you know, I think it's tough when you have a lot of single friends. You may be commiserating and having the same problems, but it may be that nobody's there to help you figure out if maybe you could do something that would work better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I think, you know, that's really important, and it would seem to me that, you know, having a diverse group would also be beneficial. That, for example, you mentioned a bunch of single girlfriends, but I mean, mixed in there would be maybe those also in a committed relationship, and maybe those who are married who offer certain perspectives. Wouldn't that be part of that as well?
You're absolutely right. So maybe your single girlfriends, you go to parties with and you go meet single guys and you commiserate about things that aren't working out, but maybe you look for advice about, you know, how to pick a decent guy and that kind of thing from maybe somebody who's got a stable relationship and has already reached that point. So maybe you kind of take some of what your single girlfriends say or your male friends and what they say, maybe with a grain of salt.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it seems that in creating your own brand of sexy, that it's just one of the key elements is really getting to know yourself. The women getting to know yourself and exactly what it is that you want. It seems like that seems to be the starting point when it comes to creating whatever that brand is.
You're right. And so that's the most important thing of all, right? Everybody can have an opinion, but what is your opinion is kind of most important, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, with the objectification of sex, you know, all the time. I mean, it's just everywhere, and every now and then I'll sit down with my 82-year-old mother-in-law, and TV is on. It's like, oh, you know, why do they have to start with that? You know, I mean, or you know, it's like, and she just does her you know, but you know, with that, I mean, with it surrounding us, is there an overemphasis on sex? I mean, it just seems that, you know, it's a part of life, but, well, yeah, so what do you think about that?
Well, I'm so glad you're asking me that question because I'm really, really concerned about this. I do think there's an overemphasis, and I think part of it is because sex sells. And so, you know, people are going to try and sell things with sex if they possibly can. And now that our culture is so sexualized, you really have to go for an even bigger shock, right? You know, just some of the things that maybe worked 20 years ago won't work anymore because we see it everywhere. So they go for bigger and bigger shocks. And here we've got this new 50 Shades movies and books. And so that's even more shocking, right? And the problem with that is that even though maybe it appears to be kind of a fun or sexy relationship, it's very confusing because it does have an impact on our society. You're basically, not only are you objectifying women, you're kind of denying the harm that sexual violence causes every day. And a lot of women may feel pressured now to say yes to this new area of sexual activity where violence against women is normalized. So this is very disturbing as a psychiatrist and an advocate for women, because now maybe women are going to have to worry about being accused of being a prude if they say no to this kind of sex with violence attached. I don't think we want that. Already we've got more than enough sex scandals about rape and sexual assault in the news all the time. So why do we want this to become our new normal?
Yeah, you know, to me, I mean, you know, I can understand that, you know, sex sells, you know, but to me it's like, are we in such a society that we always have to look at, whether we're buying, what is it we're buying? You know what I mean? What are we buying into? And is it really something that we need, you know, or is it just something that we want to kind of see from a distance?
Well, I think we must be fascinated with it, or it wouldn't work to sell things to us. But it's really disturbing because I think it's getting so commonplace now, and I think where we're seeing some of the worst aspects of this are in college campuses, where a lot of the women, they aren't even sure, you know, if things are sexual assault or not, because a lot of it's so common there. And that's really disturbing because these are the women who are probably at more risk. They're just out from being with their parents, and they may not have so much street smarts at this point, and There are even people saying that the colleges are reluctant to report rapes if there's a rapist. So this is very disturbing for women,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but also you look at some of the recent cases where the consequences, you know, that the rapist receives as far as judicial is, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it just doesn't fit the crime.
Exactly. It's
yeah,
it's very upsetting. So we have to worry that because women are feeling comfortable being objectified, maybe not even just comfortable, they like it. Right? They want to feel objectified in some way. Maybe it's flattering to have a guy
mm-hmm.
pay attention to them, that they feel like they look good and that's what they're supposed to be going for. But the more we do that, the more we're kind of normalizing this whole process that I don't think we want to be normal. How are women going to stand up to men and let them know, hey, this isn't okay, if we're not really even sure whether it's violence or assault or whether it's okay?
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, in your book, you spend a little bit of time about talking about respecting the voice, respecting, you know, a woman's voice, you know, and it seems that it's really important in that dating process for women to recognize when a man is not showing that respect for what she's saying, correct?
Yes, exactly. And that's tricky.
Yeah.
That's tricky because when you're a people pleaser, you're thinking more about pleasing him, and maybe you don't think, uh-oh, something doesn't feel comfortable. What is it? Some women, they make excuses for guys.
Yeah, so... You obviously have many years of working with women who are single and in that dating mode. So when it comes time for that dating process, it seems that what's really important for women when they're kind of expressing, you know, getting to know the guy, is to be really honest and be who they are and not try to be the pleaser, you know, but basically, because it seems that, you know, that process, that whole discovery process, is what will be the basis then for a future relationship.
That's true. How can he fall in love with you if he doesn't even know who you are, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and you better know who you are when it comes time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Well,
but there are also ways to do it, right?
Okay.
You know, there are ways to do it, and I think that's the other part of it that I go into the book is how you do it matters as well, because there are ways to say no to a man that are a little more pleasant and appealing, or just very short and sweet. And I think the other thing that women have been taught is that, you know, if you're going to talk about how you feel, you need to really go into it and explain it. I don't think that always works for men. You know, I think sometimes it kind of overwhelms them and it's too much information. So I think
yeah.
it's good for women to, like, you could tell me about this. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think there are, you know, it's one of those cases where you kind of have to ease into things. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, I think a big part of your book is talk about going slow. And it seems like that's a critical part of the process, no?
Yeah. Going slow is very important. And I think also if I could give one tip to your listeners, it would be, you know, if you have something to say, just make it short and sweet. Don't go on and on. You know, just say either, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, or I'm not sure that'll work with me, or I'll have to think about it. So that, you know, that's just about as nice a thing as you can say, and you don't have to go into why you're uncomfortable and all that. That might be too much for him to hear.
Yeah, yeah. And if he wants it to know more, he'll ask.
Exactly.
Yeah, very much so. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I do want to invite listeners, if you have any questions, you can feel free to call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to them after break. And then when we come back from the break, Dr. Susan, I want to talk about, you have a dating quiz in your book, and it really looks like an interesting quiz. So I want to talk about that when we come back, okay?
Great.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guests. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my very special guest is Dr. Susan Edelman, and we're talking about her book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is drsusanedelman.com, and I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Dr. Susan.
Hi.
Hey there. Okay, great. Well, I'll tell you, when I got to the part in the book with that dating quiz that you had, I had a chuckle. I mean, I was like, oh, my God. You know, am I that noncommittal dad or that cheap Charlie? I've been cheap Charlie once or twice. But I'd love for, if you wouldn't mind, for the listeners. I mean, and that's the one thing nice about your book too. It really is a tool for women who can go through and really get clarity if they're not sure exactly, you know, who they are, what they want. Your book really does that well. So, but this particular quiz, can you talk a little bit about it? And because you talked about scripting your game, your new game. So I'd love for you to tell the listeners about that.
Definitely. So the quiz helps you figure out kind of what your style of dating is and what you might do differently that might help you. So it's trying to give you sample dating scenarios, and you can figure out either what have you done on past dating experiences like that, or what would you do now? Because, of course, it's a process. People may change what they're going to do. And then at the end, it kind of tells you what your style is and helps you figure out how you might change that. And there's like a mini version of the quiz on my website. So if they want to go have, I think there's 3 questions from the quiz there that they can kind of get an idea of what their style is from that. But I wanted to make it as personalized as possible because it's a very personal process. So these are such common dating situations too that I think everybody can kind of relate. And if women want to hang out with their girlfriends and have pizza or something, they could take the quiz together as well.
Yeah. It was kind of fun, just, you know, as the guy going through it and looking at all of these different kinds of like Flicky Frank and those kinds of things, looking to see exactly the different types of personalities, you know. And I think, you know, one of the things is that, you know, as I'm sure as a woman goes through and answers the questions or you know, responds to the quiz, that they really, you know, get a sense of who they are. And then I would think that it would also, you know, point out to them areas where, you know, where they might do or react a certain way during a date, but that might be really contrary to who they are. Does that make sense?
Yes. So it's helping them identify things like, can I stand up to myself? Do I overreact? Am I going along with things and not even aware I have a choice? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, very much. Now we do have a listener who was interested in getting your opinion on regarding online dating, and you know,
okay. Kind
of where do you fall, you know, in that, you know, because obviously, if you're dating in person, there are a lot of nonverbal things that you can pick up on, you know, and you know that little spidey sense will kind of kick in, but when it's online dating, there's a lot of additional challenges. So what's been your experience, you know, with women who have had, you know, use that mode, and you know, what would you say to women out there who are looking to use that as a way of dating?
Oh, I think that's a great question. You know, I think online dating is wonderful, especially, you know, if you're not meeting anybody in your regular life, which can be hard to do, you know, at a certain age or in a certain job. And a lot of people don't want to date people at their job, and that's often a wise choice. So I think it's a great idea. I think you have to be protective of yourself in ways that are different and more complicated. I don't usually suggest that women agree to meet a man until they've talked to him on the phone. So, you know, there's a lot of people texting out there, swiping left and right, and, you know, they just want to meet up with you quickly and check you out to see what you look like. And a lot of these guys, unfortunately, may be looking for hookups or casual sex, even if they tell you that, you know, that's not what they're looking for, they're looking for something serious. Still, that may be what it is. So I think if you slow the process down and say, you know, if he says, let's meet, and you could say, well, I'm open to meeting, I'd feel more comfortable if we spoke on the phone first. And then you see what he does. You know, does he say, okay, here's my number, or, you know, what's your number and I'll call you, or is that the end of it? And, you know, if that's the end, then you're better off, because otherwise you would have fixed yourself up and gone out on a date, and it probably wouldn't have gone anywhere anyway. So I think it's just better to be super cautious. I mean, you have to be super cautious with total strangers anyway, and probably want people to know where you are and meet in a public place and all that kind of thing. But I think it's also good to have these other strategies in terms of just figuring out if the guy is serious or not. The other thing that you have to be careful for on these sites is some of these guys are actually hackers. They're not even real people. I've read a book where, like, a woman was writing women, or guys, you know, want you to give them money or something. So you really have to be careful. And probably if somebody keeps on writing and writing and writing and doesn't want to meet you, either they're not a real person or they're not really interested in a real relationship. So I don't think it's great to be writing people for, you know, months. Usually most regular guys, they want to meet you after, you know, writing you a few times.
Yeah, very true. Those are that's really good advice. And also I think one of the benefits of some of the online sites is that you can find individuals, you know, that have some of the same interests as you. So you kind of start off with a kind of a compatibility, that random meeting at a local bar would not have.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned protection, you know, protecting ourselves, and one of the chapters in your book is called Protect Your Heart. And in the book, you also indicate that many of us have lost the skill of protecting ourselves. So can you talk a little bit about that? You know, exactly what you mean by protect the heart, and how maybe in what ways people may have lost that sense of protection?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think there are so many ways that our culture is pulling us away from our true selves and what's best for us. So first we have the whole thing about you better be sexy and you're a prude if you don't want to be sexual, and you got to decide by the third date if you're going to have sex, which is way too soon in a lot of cases. And then I think we have also these messages about letting it all hang out, and women have to be assertive to be powerful. So we've got this message that you really need to put yourself out there and that you can talk about anything with total strangers. And, you know, that's fine, but on a date, you might want to have a touch of mystery with a total stranger and not tell them your whole life story. So I think there's something about instant intimacy in our society that makes the romance process a little too fast and too open for a lot of things to go well. Because for some people, and I think still a lot of times these days, men sometimes respond better to a little bit of a chase, you know, like they aren't necessarily happy with what they get instantly. And so if you're telling them everything and you're having sex right away, it, you know, that they may lose interest really quickly. So I think having a little bit of mystery isn't a bad thing. And it can be a fun process. Slow can be sexy is one of the guidelines. And I think that we're just kind of forgetting about those things. Like, we think we should be a certain way to be modern. And we can be modern and still have a few little old-fashioned things in there.
Yeah. No, that's the one thing that, you know, I liked in the book is the, you know, the attention to romance, you know, the fact that, you know, and, you know, there is something about the joy of discovery, you know, I mean, you know, learning about the person, you know, over time, it's like, well, I never knew that about you. You know what I mean? You could actually been together for years, and all of a sudden there's something, you know, about you or something that you liked, you know, that maybe the other person didn't know. And there's, to me, that discovery carries with it excitement.
It is. It is exciting. And you know, I think the other thing for women is that, gosh, we really want that equality, you know, and we want men to respect our opinions. And a lot of men want to please us by letting us be equal partners, but sometimes it can change the dynamic. Like, the woman can start to take control and, you know, make plans for dates or plans for vacations or do this or do that or help him with other things. And then sometimes you start to feel like the guy's mother, and that's really not like a turn on for either person. So sometimes it's good to let men take the lead, and that doesn't mean that you don't have power. You can still agree to his suggestions or say no.
Yeah, very, very much. One of the things in your book, you talk about a chapter is called Consider How We're Built. You know, and I think that kind of goes to, you know, our individuality. But one of the things that kind of gave me pause is that you indicated that we're built to be attached. Can you talk about that?
Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah,
I have a brother. I have a brother who would disagree. You been the happiest if he was to be a teacher. And I mean, he would have been the stereotypical school mom, you know, bless his heart. But, you know, but he's just happy, happy being single.
Well, there, you know, everybody's different, right? And there are reasons why some people want to be single. Some people are scared of being in relationships, and sometimes people aren't even aware when they're scared of being in relationships, and they don't see how they're sabotaging themselves. So there can be all kinds of psychological reasons why people feel safer single or don't want to be attached. But in general, you know, most of us, our bodies are built for attachment. So that's what all these hormones and chemicals are about, that keep us bonded. So, you know, there's been a lot talked about oxytocin and all these other chemicals that have to do with whether we're attracted to somebody and then whether we end up feeling connected to them. And so this is the way our bodies are built. So, you know, we attach to babies and we love babies if we're holding them and that kind of thing. And it's the same kind of thing if you have sex or do a lot of touching, that those kind of hormones get released and we feel more attached to people. So that's why sometimes casual sex doesn't work for women or men, because sometimes we can feel attached to somebody we just had sex with and we think, we shouldn't be feeling attached. What's going on here? So it's just not that simple. But you know, in terms of the way our bodies are built, we're built for attachment. And we think that we should be outgrowing that in some way, but it's just a physical thing.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, that just made me wonder. So, you know, one of the areas that I, you know, we're talking about, you know, attachment, and we're talking about sex. What if, and you know, for some individuals who either sex is a low priority in their life, or for some reason maybe there is a physical challenge that doesn't allow sex to be part of their life. So how does, you know, knowing your brand of sexy or being your own brand of sexy, how does that fit in for those individuals?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think that when I'm talking about being your own brand of sexy, and I'm talking about trying to find the beauty in your own uniqueness and focusing, you know, sexiness being about confidence and self-acceptance and self-understanding and kindness and humor. So I think we're more than just how we look on the outside, and that's what I'm talking about with sexiness. So it's challenging when you have any kind of sexual issues, but people do seem to make that work, and sometimes do have partners, right? So everybody gets creative with trying to deal with sexual issues. And it may be a different kind of thing, like, because if you want to be sexy, maybe it's about your inner beauty and not just, you know, your ability to function in a sexual way.
Yes, you know, that's great. I'm really kind of glad we got here, is because, you know, it really takes the definition of sexy beyond sex. I mean, it really expands it to, you know, all of those other, you know, factors that you mentioned, you know, confidence, self-awareness, you know, all of those things that really contribute to sex appeal, you know, and that, you know, to me that's, you know, when I think about building a brand, it's like, you know, it would be like, boy, now I can see that there are a lot of things that I can do to build my brand, you know, that don't just involve sex.
Yeah, we're so much more than that, and we just seem to be so focused on it in just really narrow ways.
Yeah, very much. Well, there was another area of your book, I liked your book, if you couldn't tell, is that, you know, you talk about emotional hygiene, and you really go into, you know, examination of emotions. So Can you talk a little bit about, you know, that particular section, emotional hygiene, and you know, what you mean by that, and what are ways that we can clean up ourselves in that mode?
Yes, of course. Yeah, emotional hygiene, it's, you know, it's kind of like dental hygiene, like, you know, prevention of problems. So taking care of yourself so you don't, so your teeth are clean kind of thing, and that you don't get cavities. And so I'm just talking about people being aware of their feelings, because I think our culture doesn't necessarily value feelings. Men even have more of an issue with it, because some men feel like, well, you know, that's a feminine thing or something, to have feelings. But we all have feelings. And the more we're aware of our feelings, the more they help guide us toward what we want and away from what we don't want. And so this is part of the process of being your own brand of sexy, figuring out what's right for you, is letting your feelings help guide you. Now, you know, sometimes our feelings don't guide us well, but the more we understand them and we're more aware of them and we're working with them, at least we have a chance to figure out when they throw us off, like we're scared of something that's good for us instead of afraid of something that's bad for us, right? So we want to kind of learn about ourselves to help put us in the right direction. I'm thinking of this whole thing as like having a GPS system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we've got
mm-hmm.
this built-in GPS system, and sometimes we just turn it off. We're like, ah, I don't want to deal with those feelings. But a lot of times that's really what helps guide us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, speaking of getting what you want, you know, planning on get what you want, part of the you know, the idea of, you know, knowing what you want and establishing and kind of going out to get that. How does getting what you want, the focus on getting what you want, you know, sometimes people, I'm not going to just say women, sometimes people will go about getting what they want through manipulation. So how do you get what you, you know, go for what you want, get what you want, but without crossing that line into manipulating?
This is such an interesting question. I put this video out on Facebook about when my book about What to Say on a Date came out, and I had these women say, "You're telling people to be manipulative," because I was saying, you know, here are ways to try and get what you want from men, things to say that will help you get what you want in good ways, right? And how to say
mm-hmm.
it, right? And they were like, "You're teaching women to be manipulative." And so I had to come out with like another video about that, because of course that's really not my goal here. I just want women to you know, have the best chance at having a good outcome. And so I was trying to help women see this in a different way, because sometimes we're not being manipulative to try and get what we want. Sometimes we're just trying to get what we want. So,
right.
And, you know, I was giving them, like some people say, well, if you wear makeup on a date, is that manipulative? Or if you lose a few pounds before your date, is that manipulation? Because really you don't look like that. So we don't commonly think of those as manipulation, but sometimes people would say that. So I think this is part of the problem, you know. How do you figure this out? As long as you're trying to basically be honest with someone about who you are and what you want, I don't think you need to let it all hang out. But I'm not sure where the manipulation is in that. It's maybe some strategy. And I think a lot of women are really uncomfortable having a strategy. You know, I don't want to play games. I don't want to seem manipulative. They're scared of it. And so I think a lot of them are scared of getting what they want, and that is a problem, because if you're scared of getting what you want, you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah. And you know, the idea of having a strategy, I mean, to me, just the word strategy brings up the idea that there is this plan that is, I mean, it's kind of like it's not a natural flow, that it's a systematic approach versus something that would be organic. You know, I don't know. To me, that
does that seem manipulative? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, I understand. No, I understand the the idea of knowing what you want and going about achieving it. You know, and that may be the strategy. May be to go to specific online sites that cater to your interests, or going, to events, that were you share a common interest, where a potential someone you may want to date you would meet. You know, I mean, I can understand that's kind of a strategy, but I just think that some people may view that as, it seems like sometimes that dating and love, all that should be just not necessarily planned out, that's
right.
I mean, the organic was the word. So, I mean, I think, that's where the idea of potential manipulation may arise, is that, someone that would view anything other than, you happen to meet someone and you date and you fall in love, and then then that's it, versus going about it in a logical manner.
You know what? I see your point, and ideally, I think that would be great. But unfortunately, our society isn't so set up for that for women anymore. In the old days, when people were all looking to get married, and that was kind of the main goal, then it was a different story, right? But now there's so much choice, and a lot of guys will have sex with these women, and that's the end of it. So a lot of women really do have to be more self-protective and more aware of their instincts, or else they just end up with crash and burn relationships one after the next.
Yeah.
So
I
just think, it's just, unfortunately, the environment can be really tricky. Even though I do think there are some people who fall in love and it all works out in a beautiful way for them, and that still happens. But I think for women who that hasn't been happening for, they may need a strategy. And I don't find that manipulative.
Right.
I think it's just good judgment.
No.
They got to learn what they're doing wrong.
Right, exactly. And I agree. I agree that, and there's nothing wrong with a strategy, basically, and that is, identifying what it is that you want, who you are, what you want, and then how you go about getting that, and that's, it makes sense, and I don't think, necessarily that, I don't think that that having a strategy is a bad thing. At all. My point was is just that some people may view having a strategy as being kind of cold compared to love. But I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that sometimes society, for women who are out there who are going to take that strategic approach, that there may be some, within this sisterhood, there may be some, blowback.
I think you're probably right. Men don't want to feel manipulated, and that's completely understandable.
Right.
But I see
right.
this as more self-protective than manipulating men. Yeah. This is about really understanding yourself and figuring out how to get what's right for you. And unfortunately, for some people, it just doesn't come naturally.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Dr. Susan, we're down to the last few minutes here. Our hour has flown by. So I guess, if for those who are listening, who would be the best target market for your group, for someone out there, who are the ones that could really benefit from the book, and what is it that you hope they'll walk away with from reading the book?
Oh, you know, I think this book is good for anybody. One of the reviews I got said it's the dating Bible, or good for women who are dating or looking, a must-have book for women dating or looking today. So I've had women tell me in college age that this has really helped them, and a woman recently who was in her 70s told me it was very helpful who's single. So I think it's really more about, are you wanting to read a book that will help you figure this out and help guide you toward what's right for you? And if, there may be parents listening who are wondering if it would be appropriate for their daughter, and even if they think it's too young, they might want to get it for themselves to help guide their daughter through college or even some of these high schools. There's a lot of sexual pressure going on. So it may be too early for the daughter to read it, but they might want to read and help guide their daughter through the process.
Yeah, it's great preparation, great prep material, as well as it really brings up a lot of the topics, that can be discussed, that should be discussed, that sometimes we just forget or just aren't really aware of. But it's a great guide for bringing up, appropriate topics as well.
Thank you so much. And there also is a lot of information on my blog for parents as well as for single women, because I've had a blog now for a couple of years. So there's some quizzes and other resources that will help give women tips.
Great. Well, that's great. Well, Dr. Susan, I really want to thank you for your time today. I've really enjoyed our conversation a lot.
And I really appreciate you having me on. It was a wonderful conversation. Your questions were terrific.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dr. Susan Edelman, and we've been talking about her book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, A New Sexual Revolution for Women. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, drsusanedelman.com. And I want to thank you all for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.